Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org, streaming live, and many of you are asking me to do some coverage on the Texas floods. Well, I'll tell you what, there are so many people that are looking into the things that just don't add up. And you know that I am someone that's a critical thinker. You are as well. And we'd like to dig deeper and to not trust the headlines. What I'm going to do is a two or three part series for you. And tomorrow I'm going to show you and I'm going to bring you some evidence and reasons why you are being lied to. You're being lied to a lot of things, especially what's going on in the news, the mainstream merry-go-round media, the headlines, and so forth. But before we can tackle that deeper statement and premise and reason of why you're being lied to, first of all, I want to tell you about why those that are lying to you, why they benefit, to kind of set the stage. Because the question that I get from everyone is, why would they do this? Why would someone, meaning the government or agencies, why would they intentionally seek to harm people? Well, I'm going to share that with you on this video. I've got probably maybe a dozen reasons why the bad guys benefit when there are catastrophes, whether the catastrophes are natural or not, whether they are orchestrated. They certainly, we can all agree that they are sensationalized, and the headlines will pummel us with the information, often confusing, often conflicting, often charged with emotional words and images. And I'm not going to share any of that with you. I'm not going to share any news stories. I'm not going to share any images. What I am going to share with you is a very interesting video clip from a movie that was produced and broadcast in 1958 with Cary Grant. And this was a movie called Indiscreet. And you know me, I don't really like to watch movies very much, but sometimes I think, well, maybe the old-fashioned movies won't be so bad. They won't be vulgar and violent and all of that. Wait until I share with you just this, several second long clip of what they were talking about in 1958. Now, I'm just an English teacher, not a math teacher. So if someone can actually let me know how many years that is, I think it's well over 60 years. This is how long the bad guys have been planting these seeds for us to be ushered into their evil ways. So let me share with you several, and you can add these up for me as well, several reasons why and how the bad guys benefit from catastrophes such as the Texas flood. Now, I want to let you know I've got another piece of information about what's going on in California. I need to verify this, but apparently it came from the California Senate. And this I'm going to share with you as another bit of evidence as to how the bad guys will benefit. So at the end of this broadcast, actually in my Substack, which is free, peggyhall.substack.com, that usually comes out a day or two after I broadcast my videos. In that Substack, which is a written blog, it's absolutely free. I'm going to share with you two links of websites, other Substacks where people are doing a deep dive into all of the things that are not adding up. And I'm going to share with you tomorrow some more of my tips about how to, if you're going to watch the news, how to read between the lies. I've done plenty of videos about that in the past, but it's always good to have a refresher. So that will be in my Substack. And the reason why I'm not going to mention the blogs and the websites on this public channel is because YouTube will take down videos where you are questioning the veracity of what happened in these mass casualty events. That's one of the YouTube no-nos, is you're not able to say, hey, this didn't really happen. This doesn't add up. And I've been skating on thin ice. I want to maintain this channel because I have tens of thousands of subscribers that want to tune in for my analysis. The other thing I might do is I may, yeah, please leave comments because you know what's going on behind the scenes there. And, or should I say behind the seeds, the cloud seeds. Can I say that on the channel? Let me know in a comment if you would like me to cover this in a deep dive on our private webinar. Now, I do this monthly. And on the private webinar, I can go into great detail without worrying about censorship. So that's the first Saturday of every month. So in a couple of weeks, we're coming up on the August webinar. And I don't really like to give my life, energy, and essence to all of these bad guys, the evildoers, but I do want to use it as a way for critical thinking. And most of all, this is where I'm coming from, friends. I want to help you not get into the spin cycle and feel so worn down and so psychologically distraught over what you're being shown on TV and on social media. I want you to read between the lines so that you can say, you know, this doesn't add up. I don't know about this rescue story. It doesn't make sense. You're telling me all these things, but when you listen to it, it doesn't. Why are they doing that? Why are they tugging on the heartstrings of people? Could it be for GoFundMes? Could it be for more trauma and terror? That's what we're going to talk about right now. So number one, the number one way that bad guys benefit from these events, orchestrated or not, is the infliction of terror on the population. And that's why, and I'm going to put terror and trauma, they're slightly different. So terror can be a threat of a danger that may not ever come to pass. Now, I didn't cover a lot of the doom and gloom that was being paraded out prior to July 4th. Interesting what happened in Texas, but people were saying, oh, there's going to be some sort of, I didn't even really pay attention to it, but there was going to be some kind of solar flare or internet meltdown or whatever. Fill in the blank. It's always something. The doom and gloom. The sky is falling. I guess that's how people get hits and views and everything on their videos. I'm like, I'm not even going to cover it. I'm going to wait until July 4th passes, and then maybe I'll talk about how it never happened. And I did that in previous years on previous events that were supposed to happen. That's called terror. Terror is the threat of danger. And that is so debilitating. It literally can stop people from thinking, from living, from just eating and sleeping because they are filled with dread and anxiety about something that in most cases is not going to come to pass. Now, I have a very simple analogy, and that is you are on a ship, you're on a voyage, and this terrible event that they're telling you is your destination. And all along on the ship, you've got doom and gloom and dread, and you're so beside yourself that you can't even sail that ship clearly. You didn't prepare because you couldn't think about what you needed to do. You literally are poking holes in your own ship on that voyage, even if that destination is going to be horrible. What I prefer to do, and this is one of my mottos and the way that I live my life, is I do the exact opposite. I will hold a vision of, you know, brighter days ahead and smooth sailing and a better result. And so when I'm on my ship, I can batten down the hatches. I can enjoy the ride. I can, at least during the time from point A to point B, I'm not going to let the terror get to me. Even if the destination is full of wild savages that want to, do me harm, I will have some wherewithal. I won't be so beaten down by the threats and the danger that by the time I get there, I'm so weary, I can't even fight them. So that is the nature of terror, and I'm not going to fall for it. And the headlines and so many YouTubers and Substackers are peddling that stuff. And I personally don't participate. I have a very select handful of people that I can rely on that I believe are really able to read between the lies and are trying to help you not get stuck in the doom and gloom. So the terror is one of the most powerful tools of the bad guys, the enemy, the evil doers. So regardless of what's going on, it's going to be presented to you as so outrageous. It's going to be sensationalized. There's going to be a parade of people coming through that you don't even know if you can trust them, if their stories are even accurate. Think about it. If you're going to a court of law and you're trying to argue a case and you need to bring evidence and you need to bring witnesses that are actually trustworthy. And the jury is told to disregard any evidence or testimony from a witness that can be proven not to be trustworthy. How do they prove that? They lied in other cases. They perhaps weren't really on the scene. Their story doesn't add up. Maybe they are in dire straits financially and they needed money. Maybe they were already in jail. So you look at the person's history and their story, which is why some of those that are in power, you need to look at their history. And did they lie and did they cheat? Yes, they did. I've done plenty of videos about that. So that person is not deemed trustworthy, meaning what they say, you can't trust. So I'm thinking some of you want me to do a deep dive on this in our private webinar, and I can bring to you some of the witnesses that have been paraded out in this latest event. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, and I'm not saying that people weren't harmed. Hear me clearly. I am saying that the bad guys are going to benefit from this, regardless of the cause. And you know, because I've covered this many times, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow, you're being lied to. You're being lied to about the weather. You're being lied to about so many things. But let's talk about why they would do that. Well, the terror weakens you. It makes you more, not you smart ones, but the general population. It makes them more easily manipulated so that they can usher in their ultimate agenda. And I'm going to explain that to you as we go through my list here. So terror, the threat of danger that may or may not happen. So you're constantly living in fear. I have so many healthy Americans that are telling me they're struggling with sleeping, with anxiety, with dread, with indigestion, because they're not living their lives in a, you know, freely and fully. They're tied to the headlines and they're being affected by that. And I've got many dear friends that are feeling so beside themselves with the images and things that they're seeing on TV. So again, to quote myself from a previous video, well, stop watching it then. That's what I have to say about that. You can still pray. You can still feel compassion without, well, let me give you an example. I was a lifeguard in my earlier days. And when I went through lifeguard training and I later taught the lifeguards how to become lifeguards, the number one rule, well, among the number one rule that you are taught is you need to save yourself. So you are taught all sorts of evasive maneuvers to save yourself when you're doing a rescue. So when you jump in that water, there are ways that you can save the person in distress at arm's length, or you've got your arm across their chest and you are at a distance so that they cannot pull you under. If they start to pull you under, if they panic, if they become hysterical and they start pulling you under, we are taught evasive maneuvers to rescue ourselves. Think about it. If you're on an airplane, you're told to put the oxygen mask on first. Yes, the only kind of mask I would really wear. You're told to put on the oxygen first before you help others. You are no good to anyone else if you are being worn down and terrorized by these headlines and you're glued to the screen and you watch video after video after video. And that is exactly what the bad guys are counting on. So save yourself, number one. Number two, the trauma. The trauma that is inflicted upon the innocent people, not only those that are experiencing the horrors that are inflicted upon them, like we saw in Maui, like we saw in Los Angeles, Pacific Palisades, but the trauma that's inflicted upon you as the observer. Now, hear me out. This may sound strange, but I want you to think it through. In some ways, not 100%, for some people, observing the trauma can be more detrimental than experiencing the trauma themselves. You may not agree with me, but I've experienced that. When I am helpless and seeing the suffering of someone else that I cannot help, it's more detrimental to me than when I am going through tough times because it's happening to me and I'm trying to figure out how to go through it. So I had a loved one who lost her home in the Palisades fire. And it's strange, but she kind of seems to be doing okay, given what she's been through. She's had a lot of support, a lot of help, and she's looking at it. She's like, I'm dealing with it. Whereas those of us that are watching it cannot comprehend the enormity of these losses. So when you are the witness to the trauma, you are being traumatized as well. And you need to be aware of that. This is a tool of the enemy. The bad guys benefit by this trauma, and not only the individual trauma, but the trauma bonding, meaning as a society, we are going through this, like what happened with 9/11. And many people have exposed the truth about that. But the point being, at the time, people were just flabbergasted. Often these events, the more outlandish and outrageous, the shock and awe, the easier it is for people to believe it because they say, well, it's so enormous. How could they all be in on it? I've done videos called How could they all be in on it? So they don't all have to be in on it. And plenty of people want to be in on it because they're paid, or maybe they are ex-cons, or maybe they're going to get out of jail, or maybe they're going to be given a lot of money and sent to live somewhere else, or maybe they're criminals anyway, or maybe they really believe in it. They believe in taking away the bang bangs. So they're happy to go in front of a camera and say these things. All right. Another way that the bad guys benefit, just on the simple face of it, people are being harmed. Their property is being harmed. Their livelihood is being taken away from them. So they've lost their homes. They've lost their vehicles. They've lost their belongings. They've lost their pets. They've lost loved ones, if we are to believe what we're shown. And they've lost businesses, in particular, small businesses. The fabric of those communities is torn asunder. And this is one of the biggest whammies, if you can call it that, of how the bad guys benefit. And I want to explain that to you in just a moment when we revisit LA, Pacific Palisades, and when we revisit Lahaina. So the homes are destroyed, the property is destroyed, meaning their personal belongings, the vehicles are destroyed. How do people get to work? What if the businesses they were working at are now shuttered? What if they owned a business that is now shuttered? What about opportunities are lost? Somebody was just about to get a new job and then the business went out of business. So the harm that is perpetrated upon the people is enormous. And the bad guys benefit from that, from the psychological despair, the wearing people down. And this turns me to the next point. The bad guys benefit because there now is an increased push to rely on the federal government. And it troubles me that it's the federal government. I do believe that the states should be prepared within their own state for these eventualities, especially if we are told that this is happening because of climate change. And that ties right in. So stick with me. I'm going to expand on that in a moment. Is anybody keeping track of how many I've been talking about? If you can, there might be, I don't know, maybe a dozen points that I'm going to make here. But the reliance on the federal government really is troubling to me, because that expands the notion of we are like a nation. And I believe that the importance needs to be placed on the individual sovereign states. That's why living in Florida is completely different for me than living in California. California has the nation's highest taxes. It has the highest tax on gasoline. It has the highest cost for energy, like just your utilities, the worst roads, even though it has the highest taxes on gasoline for the roads. The property taxes actually aren't as bad as some states, but the personal income tax doesn't exist in Florida. So, and there's a surprising great law that happened in Florida, many new laws that came on the books that I'm going to share in an upcoming video. The point I'm making is each state is sovereign. The laws in Florida are different than the laws in California. That's why, unhappily for me, maybe not for others, the beautiful Palm Springs area is now one big pot farm. You may like to do that for your recreation, but it's really been taken over kind of like the industrial mafia. And it has ruined, in my experience, the nice, easy vibe. There's a whole different vibe now in the Palm Springs area because that was regulated differently in California. It's different in Florida. It's different in every state. I celebrate that. I applaud that. I want to magnify and enhance that. I don't like the federal government, for example, saying that, oh no, the states have to put fluoride in their water. Well, the federal government has zero, repeat after me, zero authority to tell the states what to do with their municipal water. So I don't like this encroachment and the growing of the federal government, of FEMA, and everybody turning to the federal government to answer all of their problems. And that's what happens in these disasters. I'm all in favor of people getting help where they need it. Absolutely. I believe that it should fall to the states and that it should fall to, you know, individuals. Private companies are stepping up to the bat. My friends who started Public Square and who also have a business called Every Life, because they are pro-life, pro-family, pro-faith, pro-freedom, they are bringing diapers to this area. So it's a personal business that is stepping up to the plate. And I would like to see more of that. I have neighbors that would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. That's what I would like to see more of. Churches, community groups, why the federal government? So the encroachment of FEMA is another way that the bad guys benefit. Now, I want to talk about blaming it on climate change. If these governors and others are saying climate change is the culprit, and you're going to hear that again and again. Yes, we've had the stories about the weather manipulation. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I'm just looking at the face value of what people are going through and how the bad guys benefit. We'll dig a little deeper into the lies tomorrow. So if you're just hopping on board, rest assured, that's going to have its own video. So if these governors know that climate change is making the weather worst, because worst is worse than worse, then don't you think they would have prepared better with having more resources, with having more first responders? Now, I was here in Florida last year during the Hurricane Milton, and it was unbelievable how this state was prepared for the hurricane and the tornadoes. There were dozens and dozens of utility vehicles that were staged at my local grocery store. The grocery stores closed, really interesting, so you had to prepare in advance. And these utility trucks were ready to go at a moment's notice where they needed to go for the down lines to make sure, and other ambulances and others to go help those that were being affected by this extraordinary event that even people that have lived here their whole lives say they had never seen, however many, over 100 tornadoes in a 15-minute span that took out a number of houses right a mile from where I am. So the state of Florida was prepared. They had gasoline. They had first responders. And I love that DeSantis says, we're Floridians. We go through this all the time. We're prepared for hurricanes. Now, I will say Floridians are not prepared for weather that is under 60 degrees because that's just not right for Florida. So there, it's kind of a joke that people complain about the cold weather, but they are out there for the hurricanes. I think I'll have to share a funny meme with you as we get closer into hurricane season. So what I want to share with you now is this 1958 clip. And I want you to listen. When I talk about incrementalism, when I talk about climate change, let's take a look at this now, shall we? And I will play it through, and then I'll play it again in case you didn't hear it clearly, and I will let you know exactly what they're saying. This is Cary Grant and this other performer. Okay, here we go. Let me get my sound up.
It's rather muggy in Paris today.
It was muggy here, too.
Really?
Yes.
I made dinner reservations at both the Mirabelle and the White Tower. You have your choice. But they don't suit you?
Yes, they do. Oh, they're very nice restaurants.
Well, let me scroll ahead a little bit, but here's the most important thing. All right. Here we go.
I arranged something.
Oh. You did?
Well, just listen.
I hope you'd approve.
I'm sure I will.
A friend is taking us to the Players Club.
Oh, I see.
That's quite a treat. I thought it was something unusual for you. And since I'm not a member, I've got the friend to invite us.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful of you.
Here we go. Here we go.
It's unusual for the weather to be so muggy this time of year.
Yes. I read an article the other day that claimed the world's weather was changing.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes, isn't it?
Did you catch that? All right, they're getting into the elevator, and the first thing both of them say, oh, it was very muggy in Paris. Oh, it's very muggy in New York as well. And now she says, it's unusual for the weather to be so muggy this time of the year. And he says, I read an article the other day. This is 1958. I read an article the other day saying that the world's weather is changing. Isn't that interesting? She says. And he says, yes, it is. How do you like them apples? So they've been planting the seeds about the weather in the world changing for however many years that is, 1958, several decades. So blaming it on climate change is a slam dunk for the bad guys. Why? They can have tax credits on carbon capture and all the other things that ideally the Trump administration is going to get rid of. I know that California has been one of the worst states in terms of the laws that were passed for climate change. So this is a huge one in these events. All right. The next way that the bad guys benefit is higher insurance. Now, in California, we can barely get private insurance on our house. It is basically government run because it's so expensive and the insurance agencies are leaving California. They're leaving Florida. They probably are going to be leaving Texas. Several of you told me that the insurance companies were pulling out of Arizona. And that is a little bit of a tip off as to where these disasters may happen next, whether they are fires or floods or hurricanes or tornadoes or blizzards. I did a video a year or two ago about the unusual blizzard in California, and I did a whole expose on the government manipulating the weather, and the government admits to it. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But rest assured that the insurance companies are going to want to pull out of Texas. So what does that mean? It means higher expenses for your insurance. What does that mean? People aren't going to want to live in a private home. They're going to want to rent. Perhaps, let's see, I don't know, just off the top of my head, one of the Pack'em and Sack'ems, one in the 15-minute cities. So that is the next thing. You move the people out of their land, especially out of the rural areas. We're seeing that in North Carolina. I don't want to exclude that travesty. Oh, excuse me. I meant to say tragedy and travesty that occurred there, that was inflicted there. So they want to move the people out of their homes, especially those that are living in more rural areas. By and large, people that live in the rural areas are more self-sufficient. They're more freedom-minded. They're just, you know, live and let live. They don't want to be a part of all of this new world disorder. So that brings me to the next point. People are losing, they've lost their property. It's going to be difficult to rebuild. It's going to take a long time to get all of the permits and things. We are going on in Los Angeles. People still can't get permits for their homes. And I was just sent this right before I came on the air. And it says, breaking. The California Senate has passed Senate Bill 549, granting the LA County authority to purchase the fire destroyed lots for minimal cost and convert them into low income housing. Now, this still hasn't been signed into law, but this is the direction that they're moving in. And you know that this is happening in Lahaina, and it likely is going to happen in South Carolina, and it likely is going to happen in Texas. So this story goes on to say this directly contradicts Gavin Newsom's previous assurance to homeowners that such government-driven property conversions wouldn't happen. There was another funny meme that said, oh, Gavin Newsom, he's just trying to maintain his position. He's grasping at straws. Oh, that's right. He outlawed straws, which he did in California. You can't drink out of plastic straws because, you know, you can drive a car that's made out of plastic. My glasses are made out of plastic. Can't get rid of plastic, friends. So there we have it. You're going to have the government move the people out, move them in to the Pack'em and Sack'em, however you want to say it, and into their 15-minute cities. So there probably are more things that I could add into how the bad guys benefit, but I wanted to set the stage to answer the question, why would they do this? This is why they would do it. So the terror, the trauma, weakening the people, weakening their resolve, literally taking their property, which is irreplaceable. People, lives, pets, people, property, businesses, morale, opportunities, the future, all of these things damaged, the PTSD that people are going to experience. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. The reliance on the government, the blaming it on the climate change to use that, manipulate that as well, the higher insurance costs, moving people out of their homes, government taking the land and the property and moving them into big cities, basically, and corralling them into that. So tomorrow we are going to talk about how you are being lied to. Let me know if you come across any other clips or articles where climate change was put into our psyche decades ago. This is the nature of incrementalism. Now, I hope and pray that in my last phase of life here, however the good Lord grants me, that I'm not going to see these 15-minute cities come to fruition, that hopefully that's going to be 100 years from now, because they've been, and hopefully it's not going to happen at all is my point. But the incrementalism moves so very slowly. That's why somebody like Bob Kennedy can come out and say a certain thing and then backpedal and go, oh, and the bad guys are like, oh, we pushed too far. We turned up the pot too high. Let the steam out a little bit. Turn the pot down a little bit. The frogs are jumping out. So then they backtrack and then they throw out a trial balloon and they see how far they can go. I think it's very important that we continue to speak out, to stand up. I know that it's like David and Goliath. And that's why I don't want to give the bad guys the another benefit of stealing my time and stealing my joy. That's another thing I should put there. So I'm not going to give it a lot of airtime. I'm not going to re-traumatize or terrorize any of my viewers showing images. I'm not going to do that. You want to find them, go find them. What I am going to do is in my Substack, which will be published the day following this video, is I will give you a link to one, maybe two Substacks. And then there's a website from A Healthy American that has done a great deep dive on, I might have a couple of websites of things that just don't add up. And I might touch on a couple of them very generically. Let me know if you are in our private webinar and I can do more of a deep dive on that when we do that. The other thing is, it's extremely important if you want to really read between the lines of these horrific events is to give yourself some time and space. Responding immediately to the images that you're seeing falls into the hands of the bad guys. They know that your emotional state is going to block your rational thinking, sober mind. You won't be able to see things clearly. That's why, you know, decades later, people are looking at 9/11 going, oh, that's weird. How come the building didn't stop the plane? I mean, all of it doesn't add up, as you know, but it takes many years for some people to even be able to question it. So give yourself weeks or several days, and then maybe go back if you're so interested and look at that news report and look at that eyewitness and actually listen to what they're saying and then turn off the sound and look at their faces, look at their expressions. Is that consistent with someone who's been through trauma, who is grieving? Or is that consistent with a psychopath or somebody that was paid to say these lines that they're smirking and kind of smiling about because they're thinking about their big paycheck? Friends, you remember last year, roughly around this time, I lost two of my beloved family members, Elsie and Teddy. I was so bereft. I couldn't even come on the channel for a couple of weeks to even broadcast a video. And when I did, you could see the sorrow in my face and my demeanor. My eyes were swollen and I could barely speak a sentence clearly. I certainly am not going to go on a TV interview the following day saying that I lost a loved one. It doesn't even make sense to me. And to do it anyway. There will be plenty of people that will justify that as well. Oh, everybody grieves differently. Of course they do. And you need to have a little more discernment when you look at that stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And let me just spend a moment to take a look at your comments because we are live. And I want to thank you for being on here live. I'm here Monday through Thursday. It's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And I really appreciate having you on board as well. So I see Kathy and Danielle. And Valerie, of course, our moderators, Rhonda here all the time. Dolly, welcome. Florida, Mark, nice to have you on board. So many here. Joyce says, I don't watch any news, but I still see what's going on by the few people I follow. And I'm so tired of worrying about everything. Joyce, I'm sending you the biggest hug. We have been connected for years. I think back on the Facebook days. I'm not even on Facebook. Friends, I'm not even on Instagram anymore. I'm just, it's too much. I like YouTube. I love my audience here. And Joyce, I agree with you. And you are taking such a wise approach to stop worrying about it. Follow a few people here or there that, you know, can give you analysis or insight and not be riveted and give away your life and joy. Rhonda says, same thing. It's exhausting. And she chooses to do other things. Laura Ann makes a great point. If the states will cover this, meaning the cost of recovery and rescue and all of that, then we need a decrease in our federal taxes. So we aren't paying twice. Yeah, we need to decrease in our federal taxes. That's for sure. Oh my gosh. Hi, Tad, Lynn. NMD, yes, Texas has a weather modification program. I pretty much, you know, it's great. I think everybody knows that now. I think it's just undeniable that not only are there things being sprayed in the air, but that, you know, these things are going on. Okay, Swiss, I know what you're talking about in that little video clip that I played. And yeah, I know what you're talking about. Some people get upset when I point out the fact that these performers are performing in more ways than one. And when you start to see it, you can't unsee it. I might have to do, Maybe in one of our private webinars, we'll talk more about that, the inversion. It just, it's really, it sickens my, I get queasy. I can't really watch that stuff. So, all right. Friends, I want to thank you. Madeline says they're already building those types of cities in Texas. I'm going to make a note about that, Madeline, because I want to see where those are. I did a video previously about what Musk is doing in Texas, and he's creating his own weird prison, you know, city. And I don't even know if he's doing it anymore now that he's getting booted out. I don't like to follow that guy either. Guy. Yeah. Ellen. very strange. Okay. Kim says, why is it the Bob? Bob Iver, Bob Chapek, Bob Kennedy. I know some nice Bobs as well. And it's sad that they have hijacked the name. Okay. Renters being asked of tenants is only to protect the owner of the property in the event of a fire flood. They don't have to replace the tenant's belongings. Okay. I'm not quite sure about that, but if it has to do with renter's insurance, many people do have insurance on their own personal property, but not on the building if they're renting, if I'm interpreting that correctly. I'm going to wrap up, and I'm just so glad that everybody was here. And let's see. We've got BA Cat Lover. Thank you. Caitlin says, I never watch the news. You helped me check out of the spin cycle. Caitlin, I'd love to know how you feel. I sleep better. And I was under the impression that I needed to know everything and tell everybody everything. And you know what? It's the same old song and dance, which is why I don't really need to do a deep dive per se. So tomorrow we're going to talk about what to look for. And then you can take that checklist and you can apply it to any event and you can do your critical thinking. And it's literally like they're using a script and we're going to use a checklist. So I want to thank everybody for being on board. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Would you do me a favor and just make sure that you are subscribed to this channel? And if you would hit the thumbs up, not in the chat, but you have to click off the chat once the video ends. If you would leave a comment in the body of the video as well, that helps YouTube get my video out to more people. And that is something you can do that only takes a moment. And I really appreciate it. And Caitlin says, I feel liberated. I think that's what we all want to feel. And you know what, Caitlin, that is one of the best ways to push back against the bad guys, because they want to enslave you, your fears and your dread. And you know what? It's usually people like us that have the compassionate hearts that are the most affected. Everybody else is just out living their lives and going camping or whatever they're doing. You know, God bless them. They're living their lives. They're not really affected by it like we are, the compassionate ones that want to reach out and help, and we're affected, and they use that against us. So compassionate boundaries, save yourself, focus on your family, what you're doing, what's important in your life. And I really appreciate all of you. Signing off, I'm doing the Tennessee goodbye, aren't I? Where I keep saying goodbye, 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 goodbye. So now I'm going to say it, goodbye, and I'll see you in tomorrow's broadcast.